2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 16. I'm sorry, verse 15. Verse 15. We just have it printed wrong on the slide. Beginning with verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Will you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And God, we acknowledge that this is Your Word and we are Your people. We know, Lord God, that You send forth Your Word and it does not return to You void. It accomplishes all You set it forth to do. So God, we ask in Jesus' name that You would speak this Word to us in the way that You desire us to receive it. So that, Lord, we may be changed by the power of Your creative Word, that we might be effective in our lives and we might be effective in our service. So that, God, everything that we do will be pleasing to You. For, Lord God, we are Your people. So speak to us, Lord. And we'll give You all of the praise, the glory, and the honor, because You alone are worthy. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our soon coming King, we pray. And everyone said amen and amen. You may be seated. This morning, I want to talk to you on the subject of putting yourself to good use. Putting yourself to good use. There's a lot of things that we have in our lives that we want to use properly. There's a lot of things that we receive and a lot of things that we can do with the things that we have received. We get things every now and then and we have to take a moment to read the instruction manual. Right? I'm one of those guys that usually I get something that comes with an instruction manual, and instead of looking at the instruction manual, I try to figure it out myself. And after a while, I end up having to go back and get the instruction manual to find out what it is that I've done wrong and how to make it right. Is there anybody else who understands what that's like? We get it in our minds of how that we can use something, and sometimes we don't use it the way that it was necessarily intended to be used. I've seen a lot of different ones getting new cell phones. And they bring their new cell phones in, and I've had some people come to me and say, "Pastor, will you please show me how to use my cell phone?" And I think, well, you've got the on button, the off button, the call button, the hang up button, and you got all the keypads there. The numbers for calling who you want. And they say, "Well, no, that's not what I mean, Pastor. I want to know how to do the internet on my phone. I want to know how to do text messaging. I want to know how to set up special ringtones. Monica's notorious for this kind of a thing. Will you please show me how to do this on my phone?" Remember the good old days when a phone was just simply a phone? And everything was so much easier, but now we have to figure out all the little bells and whistles. I've got a phone on me that has more memory than my first computer had. It performs more functions than my first computer has. But one of the things that I've discovered about this phone is I'm still not putting every single application to good use. I haven't figured it all out. And so from time to time, I have to go back to the manual, I have to go back to the documentation and look at it and see what is it that I need to do so that I can use this phone to its fullest potential. You know what? In our own lives, not all of us are living up to our fullest potential. Some of us, you know, we're like a cell phone that has all kinds of purposes and that can be doing all kinds of things, but we're just focused in on one simple aspect of our lives. And it's not that that's a bad thing, but sometimes there are other areas of our life that we're not really living up to our fullest potential. We're not really putting ourselves to good use. And Christians, we have all kinds of ideas as to what our purpose is here on earth, and yet many times we don't live up to the purpose that the Bible tells us that we're here to perform. One of those purposes, of course, Jesus said you're supposed to go and make disciples of all men. Teaching, preaching, you're supposed to baptize, all these different things, and these are a part of our purpose, why we are here. And it was just a few years ago that we went through that study of the purpose-driven life and began to examine how that each one of us, we have a reason for existing. God put us on this planet for this hour, for this season, and He's got something for each of us to do. Sometimes I wonder if we need to go back to a purpose-driven life and look it over once again. You know, I think that sometimes we forget that we've got a job to do. So what I want to talk to you about today is putting yourself to good use. I want you to be able to see how that when Paul is talking to Timothy, he's telling him some very simple and practical things that he can do in his life, as well as others can do in their lives, to make sure that they are able to put themselves to good use. And he begins there in verse 15 by telling what the whole purpose is, what it is that we're trying to get to. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. How many of you want to be approved before God? You want God to approve of everything that you're doing, of the life that you're living. You want to have the approval of God in your life. He said, I'm telling you, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Have you ever done a job and by the time the job was over, you felt kind of ashamed of it? Because it just wasn't quite your best. Ian wanted me to make him a birthday cake the other day, and so I did my best. I did everything I could. He told me what he wanted. For those of you who know Star Wars, he wanted an Obi-Wan Kenobi cake. I said, you know, why don't you give me like R2-D2 or C-3PO? Why does it have to be Obi-Wan Kenobi? That's what he wanted. So I spent a good deal of Friday night working on putting together an Obi-Wan Kenobi cake. I went with a cartoon figure of Obi-Wan Kenobi and tried to do it as best I could. And I finally got to the place where I said, that's it. That's as good as it's going to be. It's not going to be any better than this. I can't make it look right. And I was upset. I just felt like it didn't look like it should look. When it came time for the party, one of the boys that comes to church here, Christopher Brown, he comes in and he sees it. He says, Ian, you've got a Jesus cake. We said, no, it's Obi-Wan Kenobi. And so they ate the cake and they were doing their thing and everything was fine. And then all the young girls, all the young ladies stopped by the house from the church. They had been doing something that night with Jeremy and Ashley, and they all came over to wish Ian a happy birthday. And they came in and they looked at the cake, and guess what they said? They said, Ian has a Jesus cake. And we thought, no, it's an Obi-Wan Kenobi cake. I'm glad that we got you kids thinking about Jesus. But that's not what we did. Sometimes we work hard at something, and we don't make it to that level of perfection that we're really shooting for. And if you're like me and you're really trying and striving for perfection, sometimes it doesn't work out that way and you've just got to roll with it, right? You got to learn that you can't always be perfect, no matter how hard you try. But yet Paul is writing to Timothy and he's telling Timothy, I want you to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. A worker who has no reason to feel like they've not accomplished the task they've been given. What is the task we've been given? Paul then says, rightly dividing the word of truth. One of the greatest things that we will ever accomplish in our lives is understanding the word of God better than we did yesterday. understanding what God has to say to us today in the day and the age that we're living, so that it's not just the Logos of God that we're reading, but it's the Rhema of God that we're receiving. What are you talking about, Brother Daryl? The Logos of God is the word that is just written and read. The Rhema of God is the word that is spoken in the moment in which you live. And you know what? God still speaks. And every time I open this book and I read it and I get into it, guess what? God speaks to me. And I'm hoping that you all agree that God still speaks, because if not, then I'm wasting my time up here this morning. God still speaks. And we've got to rightly divide the word of the Lord. Rightly divide the word of truth. But now here's some practical things that you can do to help yourself make sure that you are presenting yourself approved. Some things that you can do to make sure that you're a worker who is not ashamed. Some things you can do to help you make sure that the word that you're rightly dividing doesn't get all messed up. The first thing is shun babbling. In verse 16, Paul told Timothy, shun profane and idle babblings. You need to be careful of what it is that you're listening to and what it is that you're speaking. You need to make sure that the words that you're speaking are not profane. You know what profanity is, right? It's not just talking about cursing and swearing. It's saying anything that would be offensive to God. You know, we've got a lot of people today that say, oh, profanity is just four-letter words. No, profanity is talking about anything that would be offensive to God. If there's anything in this word that speaks against what you're talking about, you need to tame the tongue. If you're listening to anything on the radio, in your CD player, in your car, stereo, on the television, if you're listening to anything that is profane, you need to turn it down or turn it off. Why? Because those profane babblings are going to take you farther and farther away from being able to rightly divide the word of truth. And you'll be holding on to something from the word that maybe you've heard in the past, but it's not alive in you, and it's not alive in anybody else. Kind of like last week when we talked about good things and God things. If you're not careful, what you listen to will change what you believe. What are you talking about, brother? Well, the word tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we need to understand that what we listen to and what we speak, it changes our ability to rightly divide the word of truth, and therefore it changes our ability to work and not be ashamed, and it changes our ability to present ourselves approved to God. So we shun profane babblings, and we shun idle babblings. These are our conversations. We do away with that which is profane, and do away with that which is idle, because these things increase toward more ungodliness, and that type of ungodly conversation spreads like cancer. If we're not saying good things about each other, guess what? It spreads like a cancer. Profane babblings and idle babblings. Idle babblings, it's talking about things that you don't really need to say. It serves no purpose for you to say it. We got to get away from having idle babblings, idle conversations. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word that men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will either be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. James tells us that the hardest part of the body to control is the tongue. He says it's like a big ship with a little rudder. And that little rudder directs where the boat's going to go. But it's such a small thing, and yet it steers the entire ship. Your tongue is the same way. What you talk about, how you talk about it, what you say, the conversations that you get involved with, they direct the ship of your life. And so if you want to present yourself as an individual who's approved by God, a worker who is not ashamed, who is able to rightly divide the word of truth, you got to be careful about those words. You got to shun the babblings. You've got to shun the Babylonians. Just as a side note here, Tower of Babel. Remember what happened there, right? Everybody came together. They were all of one language. They were all able to speak on the same thing. And they all came together. They all began to work together. They began to build a tower as if up unto God, trying to get themselves high enough. Some people say they were trying to do it in case there was another flood, that they'd always have a place that was high enough, tall enough, that they could go to escape the flood, thinking they were somehow better than God. In the midst of it, God says, you know what? Because they have one language and because they have one mind, they can do anything they put their heart to. And so God then comes down and confuses their language. All the work on the Tower of Babel comes to an end, and now no one can understand each other. Babbling traces it, that word Babel, babbling, it traces all the way back to the Tower of Babel, where God confused the languages. So when we're talking about babbling, we're talking about things that are not in line with the will of God, talking about things that are not going in the direction God wants us to go. And what we end up doing when we follow those vain babblings, those profane and idle things, we end up separating ourselves from God as a result. The second thing that you need to know, not only shun babblings, the second thing you need to know is you need to seal the foundation. Seal the foundation. How many of you have ever laid concrete? Have you ever laid concrete and never sealed it? I did that not long ago over at the Parsonage, right after I moved here. Some of you remember there was a lot of water damage that was done down in the basement before I ever got here. And didn't really know where the water was coming from. And so I spent days out in the rain just watching to see how the rain was coming, where it was going. Found all kinds of interesting things. You know, if you don't make sure those drains are clear coming off the gutter, you got problems, right? Simple stuff. Well, then found something else out that was interesting. Found that somehow water was getting underneath the little driveway there to the garage. And it was coming under the garage and it was puddling up underneath that concrete slab, and it was dripping down, and it was still managing to come through the wall. So I got smart, I thought, and actually it wasn't too bad of an idea. I went and dug out a little bit from where I could see that the water was coming under, and I poured some concrete, and I angled it off to the side of the house so that any time that the waters were coming off the street down onto the driveway, instead of puddling up underneath the little driveway there, it would shoot off to the side, and it still does that for the most part. But one of the problems that I had was I didn't seal that concrete. So now, after 7 years of water flowing off the street and coming down there, it's beginning to erode. It's beginning to crack a little bit here and a little bit there. I'm going to have to go this year. I'm going to have to fix that, do it right, seal it so we don't have that problem again. But any time that you lay concrete, if you want it to stick around for a while, you really need to seal it, especially if you're laying a foundation, especially if you're doing like a basement. You want it to be sealed. So when you're having a foundation, if you want that foundation to stay strong, you're supposed to seal your foundation. Does that make sense? Seal your foundation. Well, when Paul is talking to Timothy, he tells him, after he's talked to him about the language and talked to him about the conversations and talked to him about how that those conversations have hurt some people in the church, in verse 19, he said, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands," and he says, "This is the seal of that foundation." Listen to the seal. He said, "The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." There's two parts to sealing your foundation in God. The first part is to know that God knows you. That's a pretty cool thing. The second part is, if you're going to call on the name of Christ, you have to depart from iniquity. You have to leave sin behind. You can't be living a life that is full of sin and claim to be of Christ. It doesn't work that way. You have to be able to depart from it and to go in the opposite direction. So these two parts of sealing your foundation, we know that the foundation is Christ. We seal the foundation by simply living a life where we know that God knows who we are, and we live a life that is departing from iniquity. Now, I know we live in a sinful world. That departing from iniquity is something we have to do daily, right? Paul said, I crucify my flesh daily. Isaiah 49:15, we know that God knows us, right? Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. God said, even if a mother who has a baby that is nursing, even if she could forget that baby that's nursing, He said, yet I cannot forget you. I've even gone as far as to engrave your name in my hand because I know you. Scripture says, and I pointed this out to our children this morning, to the kids here at this church, God loves us so much He knows everything about us, right down to how many hairs we have up on top of our head. Marissa said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus, how many hairs did I have? I said, well, when you get there, ask him, how many hairs did Pastor lose? He knows everything about us. He knows us inside and out. There's nothing about us that he's not aware of. And this is the first part of that sealing of the foundation. It's knowing that God knows us. He knows my failures. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my strengths. He's got grace that is more than enough for what I need. But I've got to realize He knows me. And then that second part of the seal, if you call on the name of Christ, you have to depart from iniquity. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We got to let those things go. We got to depart from that sin. And that seals the foundation. So Paul said, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, then there's one other thing that Paul tells us here in 2 Timothy 2 to try and help us to put ourselves to good use. And that is simply to serve as a vessel. In verse 20, Paul said, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. We're talking about putting ourselves to good use. And Paul is saying, you know what? There's a way that you can be prepared for every single good work. And the way that that happens is you allow your life to be cleansed of those things that are dishonorable vessels. You make yourself a vessel that God can use. You open yourself up and say, God, I'm a vessel. You can use me however you desire to. We cleanse ourselves from those things that are dishonorable, those things that are offensive in the eyes of God. You know, during the divine experiment, many of us, during that time of divine experiment, we tried different things. Some of us, we didn't turn the television on during that time. Some of us, we didn't listen to certain types of music during that time. And it's amazing because I've talked to different ones who, after the divine experiment, not just in our church, but in other churches, that after the divine experiment, they went back to some of those things and started doing them again, and they just felt like they shouldn't have ever gone back to it. Felt like going back to television was just something they really didn't even need to be doing. We get so accustomed to these things in our life that many times it's hard for us to really cleanse ourselves from everything that's dishonorable. And then when we finally do it, we wonder, why did it take me so long to do this? Sometimes we just got to let go of whatever those things are that are dishonorable before God. And you know, sometimes you may come back and say, hey, here's an honorable way that you can still have this. And other times he says, thank you for giving that up. Now let me take it completely out of your life. God wants us to be honorable vessels. And so he says we need to cleanse ourselves from that which is dishonorable. And it says we will become sanctified and useful. In other words, we will be sanctified for honorable use. One of the things that we have stopped doing in evangelical churches, in the United States at least, is we've stopped talking about sanctification. We need to understand what sanctification is. Sanctification and consecration go hand in hand. Cleansing is not the same as sanctifying, although that's a part of it. Sanctifying means you're set aside for a specific reason and a specific purpose. Let me give you an idea, just a real quick memory to try and draw it to your attention so you understand. How many of you remember when you were a kid and you had Sunday best clothes? Remember? You had like one dress or you had like one suit or whatever, but that was your Sunday best. Remember, you had basically one. That's the way that it was. That's the way it was when I was a kid. You had one particular set of clothes that was your Sunday best. It was only for you wearing on Sunday, right? If you were to put that Sunday best dress on, ladies, and you went outside and you played and you came back inside, what did your mama do? You were in trouble. Gentlemen, if you put on that Sunday best shirt and tie and you went outside and you started playing with your bicycle and getting bicycle grease all over it, what happened to you when you got back in the house? You're in trouble. Busted once again, right? Why? Because that Sunday best was set aside for one reason and one reason only. It was set aside for you to wear when you came to church. And that was its whole purpose. It was set aside for that exact reason. It was kept clean so that you could wear it to church. That's the way that it was. That was the mentality that we had. One of the problems that we have now in the church is we've got a lot of Christians, and when I say church, I say that in general. I'm talking about all churches. One of the problems that we have is we've got a lot of Christians that are only Sunday best Christians. They just go and put on something to make them look holy and look sanctified and come into church so that they can mix with everybody else. And then they go outside and they take off the Sunday best and then they're right back out there doing anything that they want to do. And nobody can tell any difference between them and everyone else in the world. When we're talking about our lives being sanctified, we're talking about every day you are set aside for the work of God. You are set aside to please Him and to bring Him glory and to bring Him honor. Not just on Sunday. Every day is like Sunday with God. And so we're talking about sanctifying. You are like that Sunday best dress or that Sunday best shirt and tie, but God wants to use you every day and not just one day a week. So this is what Paul said. He said, cleanse yourself from the latter, cleanse yourself from the vessels that are dishonorable. And then the second thing he said was you will be sanctified and you'll be useful. God has a use of honor for you. And Paul then went on to say that when all this happens, you will be prepared for every good work. Not just some good works. Every good work. The way you live, your life, will be an ongoing good work. The things you do, the things you say, the way you act, everything about you will be a good work. You know what? There are good works that God wants to do in each and every one of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, Paul said, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Anything and everything that you need to be able to do the good works for God, God is going to give to you. You just have to put yourself to good use. Shun the babblings, seal the foundation, serve as a vessel. And God will take care of the rest. Amen.